Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
There once was a man with infinite power and Satan was his name. Oh.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you over the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us. We got a busy morning. Let's start with the Astros. Did you see Brian McTaggart's tweet about why Maldonado was playing?
Yes.
So here's what Dusty had to say. Maldy works well with everybody. The last few games, Maldy's caught Hunter because I just didn't want him not to catch Hunter. And then all of a sudden, he has to catch Hunter maybe later in the year or something, and he doesn't know him. Maldy takes control of the game. It's tough when you've got rookies on the mound. It's tough when you have a rookie catcher and a rookie on the mound. Like I said, Yiner is still trying to learn his craft, and he's on-the-job training. I love hitting, but there's more to catching than hitting, more than any other position on the field other than the pitcher, and the pitcher doesn't hit. That's part of our defense. They don't score, we're not losing, but we got a better chance to win. Do you know what the Astros' ERA is with Yiner as the catcher and with Maldy as the catcher? According to this.
A lot fewer games. According to
according to this tweet. 336 with Maldy, 305 with Diaz. Mm-hmm. Maldy's thrown out 19% of the runners stealing bases. Yiner's thrown out 41%.
Mm-hmm. Smaller sample.
Smaller sample
size. But he's had a cannon, though.
He's good behind the plate. That Dusty continues to, I don't want to say hurt this team, but he continues to, his loyalty to the veteran players. I mean, I get it. Managers have Baez. You know what? They've already given up on Baez. I know he signed a big deal. With Detroit, and they said, you know what, we just can't keep doing it. We just can't. We can't keep throwing them out there and hurting the team. How long is Dusty going to continue to hurt the team with Abreu and with Maldy behind the plate, Maldy at the plate in critical situations? I mean, it continues to happen.
Yeah, I think the entire year.
Yes.
Is the answer.
No, it's not happening until, listen, it ain't going to, nothing is going to change until Dusty's not the manager anymore. That's just a fact.
Or Jim Crane and Dana Brown say this needs to change. And then Dusty may just say,
yeah,
you're not, this isn't your job. This is my job.
Dusty's got the pelts. Dusty's got mm-hmm. Dusty's got, you know, what we talk about a lot is FU money.
Mm-hmm.
And Dusty's got
he's got the title too.
Yeah. When you're 70.
Dusty doesn't have to be doing this.
No.
Dusty can retire anytime he wants.
Yeah. But and Dusty wants to manage. Dusty doesn't want to stop.
Yeah, I just think that it's we're still relatively early in the year. There's still time for Dusty to make some changes, and we're working off of a relatively small sample size of hot Yiner Diaz. But at the same time, he was a good hitter last year in the minors. It's not unreasonable to think that you need to get him in the lineup at some point. But realistically, the best spot in the lineup is the catching spot. It gives you the best chance to have your best lineup. And I know all the things that Maldonado does, but you may need to dial Maldonado back to two starts a week out of the five and go a 3-2 model with Diaz. That's just, you know, if you're not doing, I'm a big believer, if you're not doing what's best for the team, we always have these arguments about that or these conversations about the Astros. Well, Michael Brantley, you can't not have him hitting second. What does that say? It doesn't say anything. This is you're trying to put together your best lineup and you're trying to win for the city. And for your owner and players who get paid, why are we worried about if somebody's feelings get hurt that they move in a lineup. This is baseball. Something that's changing lineups has been going on for over a century. What are we worried about?
Well, there's no sport that is more sensitive to any kind.
Maybe it's our perception that Michael Brantley would be sensitive about a move.
It's Dusty's perception.
Maybe it's Dusty's
Dusty's perception.
But dude, they respect you. You can make moves like this.
Yeah.
But Machete is his guy.
He
loves Machete. And I do too, truth be told. But I also love team building. And the fact is, this is your catch, more likely your catcher of the future.
Listen, Yiner could have gone 0-for-4 yesterday. That's not it's not the point. The point is that you got to put your best out there every single game. And again, I mean, that lineup yesterday was detrimental to the success of the team. It just was. The guys love Maldonado, but they also look and go, "What the hell? This kid is on fire. Why are we taking him out?" It's equal to a basketball coach who a guy is just raining threes and he says, "Okay, come on, sit over here. Sit over here now because you know what? We got to slow you down." I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You ride that hot hand until it's not hot anymore. Yiner Diaz would have come back down to earth at some point. But Dusty, you shouldn't bring him back down to earth. You know who should be bring him back down to earth? The opposing pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a great game, 13 punchouts. Yesterday,
best of his career.
Dominated the Astros. I mean, really dominated the Astros. Had a great start, and the Astros really just had no. Hunter Brown was just kind of average again. He's had quite a few average starts this year, if we're being honest about Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown was he had a quality start. And you know what? He gave up a couple of bombs. Otherwise, he was pretty damn good, other than a couple of bombs that he gave up. But, you know, you can't give up bombs. But he gave up three runs. He pitched six innings. He had a quality start. Mm-hmm. You're not blaming that game on Hunter Brown.
No,
how about you let off with a homer and did nothing else.
Three earned runs in six innings is a 4.5 ERA. That's very average. That's a very average start. That's nothing to really truly celebrate, to be honest with you. Especially when you got to – getting a battle against Gausman. And all I'm saying is Hunter Brown's numbers are pretty good, but when you look at just the starts overall, there's been like five average to below average starts this year. So it's not been a complete model of consistency, but that's good enough to keep you in the mix if you're hitting a little bit, and you weren't hitting. And that was the problem. That's how you end up losing 5-1. You gave up three home runs as a team. Montero, dude. Montero's ERA is now in the sixes. He's not got like a 6.38. This is, and once again, smaller sample size for relievers. But, man, Montero, Stanek got rocked the other day. Maton, after having a really good run. Now, Maton had an inning yesterday. But Maton, after having a really good run, gave up runs in consecutive games. One of them, I thought, was due to Abreu not making a very good play at first to try to rescue a throw on an unbelievable play by Bregman. But, you bombed away on them yesterday. They bombed away on you. Day before yesterday, they bombed away on you yesterday. Dubon, though, you had the excitement at least right off the gate of Mauricio Dubon hitting a bomb.
I mean, yeah.
Georgie hit a bomb on you.
Listen, this was easy money, if you want to know the truth. Do you want to know what Astros record is when they score seven runs or more in a game? The next game?
Oh, it's not good.
3-10.
Yeah, people always make fun of, like, they didn't save any runs for it. My brother tweeted this, like,
no.
Save some runs for Hunter. Hunter's going to lose because there's no runs left.
If they score double-digit runs, they automatically lose. Seven runs or more, they're 3-10 the following game. It's what the Astros do. If they score a lot of runs, they ain't scoring them the next day. Partly because, you know, Dusty's going to cool you off.
Okay? Right.
Dusty is going to make sure that we're going to cool off here the following game. It's maddening sometimes. Yes, Dusty's got 2,000 wins. Yeah, I've got none. Yeah, Dusty's a 50-year major league guy. Yes,
you got to be able to. I'm sorry, you're not exempt from criticism of you know, people. You took the ball out of the hands of a guy who was hot from the 3-point line. Is what you did.
Yeah,
it's just a little puzzling.
Let's stop passing it to him.
But you didn't think he was going to play.
No, I knew he wasn't going to play.
I didn't think catcher, but I thought that he might get a DH.
Yeah, no. I know. Hey, listen, Dusty's got to cool you off. Listen, you're a rookie, and you have to pay your dues. I know you're red hot, but you're a rookie, and so you just remember that, Rook, because that's what baseball is. Baseball,
old
Rook,
school baseball for sure.
It absolutely
old school is. Astros baseball for sure.
Absolutely,
you couldn't even get a sniff of an AB until you were 25.
No. Oh yeah, you couldn't get up. No, you couldn't get up to the big league.
By the way, how old is Diaz?
I don't know that.
Because he wasn't the hot prospect. Yeah, Yiner Diaz is 24. The hot prospect, obviously, was Corey Lee coming up. He was, you know, one of the top three prospects in your organization. And now...
Well, it is. It's Diaz. I mean, this is dude's job now. Dude, he is going to be the guy.
You mean his future
going forward,
job.
His future job. Yeah. He's 24 years old. Born in 90, so he'll turn 25 this year. He can rake. He is a guy, he can catch, he can throw. There is nothing about this guy that you don't like. Nothing about this guy that
right,
you don't like. And he has surpassed. Corey Lee was the number one prospect in this organization, mm-hmm. and now he's going to sit behind, or unless you could use Corey Lee for trade bait. But this was a typical outcome for the Astros after a big outing. Next time they score double digit runs, make sure that you know. Hey, there's a nice bet out there for you. Make sure you go the other way because the Astros just don't win after they score a bunch of runs. That's just what happens tonight. Bassett against Ronald Blanco as the series is tied at a game apiece. So the Astros lose it 5-1. Gausman was great. The strikeout numbers. Fantastic. The Astros, the Rangers win again because that's what the Rangers do.
Cannot catch it. I mean,
this team is.
Well, yeah. It's.
It is on fire, these guys. They are on fire. They got the Cardinals tonight as they win the first two games of that series after sweeping the Mariners. Beating the Tigers 2 out of 3, the Orioles 2 out of 3, the Pirates 2 out of 3, sweeping the Rockies.
And by the way, they're doing this without Jacob DeGrom, who is having another Tommy John surgery, had one in 2010, having another Tommy John surgery, will be out for all of this year and part of next year. This is just without DeGrom hasn't pitched since April. This is without DeGrom.
This is what signing an injury guy is.
No, this is a separate conversation we can have, but... This is, I'm starting to think, if you really think about it, every team that has a decision to make on a high-dollar expensive player, look how many of them are turning into the right decision.
Yeah.
And especially a pitcher over the age of 30. We're starting to see some, just the decisions are, letting them go ends up being way better than hanging on to them. This DeGrom decision is going to be a disaster. 44 starts since 2020.
Yep.
I mean, just... This is going to be an absolute disaster for the Rangers. And you knew going in that DeGrom was the tantalizing, you know, DeGrom is a tantalizing, shiny toy that you know is a high-maintenance, you know, sports vehicle. High-maintenance. It's a high-maintenance, high-performance vehicle, a Bugatti or whatever. And you know that when it breaks down, it costs you a fortune. And it looks pretty, but if it can't run, what good does it do you?
Yeah.
You can't get it out of the garage.
Right. I just heard the story. You got to be careful. It's Bugatti, you said, right? Okay.
Bugatti,
right. So I just heard a story. Brooke, who works at Wildcat, she had her car parked in a parking lot, and this guy on a Bugatti motorcycle didn't know how to ride it, just ran straight into her car. He didn't know how to stop it. So he totaled her car, flew over. He got on this motorcycle, didn't know how to ride it.
Was this his first time on a motorcycle?
I don't know. But it was like unbelievable. They got video of it at the security. The guy just runs into her car, her parked car, just sitting there.
So is Bugatti's just the name of the maker? Same thing? Bugatti guess, motorcycle? Yeah, I'm sure.
I guess. So, but the dude was, he was hurt. And you got to know how to ride those things. You know, those, what do they call it? Pocket rocket? No.
Yeah, no. Crotch rockets.
Crotch rocket.
Yeah,
not pocket rocket.
Is that the kind
pocket
it is?
Pocket rocket's different, I think.
Yeah, crotch rockets.
Yeah. When we come back, the biggest story, one of the biggest stories ever in golf history, next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Just a happy ending for all.
I don't know if it's going to be a happy ending for Jay. We'll see. We'll see how it works out for Jay.
And things all worked out, and everyone's happy. You'll find out how happy everyone is.
Oh, everybody's thrilled.
Yep.
Everybody, you know, except the PGA Tour players that were calling him a hypocrite during the meeting that he had with them.
Except everybody.
Except everybody in the world. Right now, we're talking about Chastang Ford. We're talking about the greatness that is. We're talking about just the place to go get your vehicle, and they'll buy your vehicle too. By the way, they say, "Hey, what do you you bring your vehicle in? Doesn't matter if you bought it here or not. If you want to trade it in, even if you're not going to buy a car from them, they said they'll buy your vehicle." So that's happening every single day at Chastang Ford. You know what else is happening at Chastang Ford is that you're getting the best deal that you can possibly get at the best price that you're going to get that Ford. I'm telling you, when you go to another dealership, they're going to tell you, "Well, we got to add on $5,000 because you know it's the market. The market is the market variance is just it's." Unbelievable. So we got to mark this up $5,000 and $10,000 because that's how difficult it is to get. No, they're not doing that at Chastang Ford. They're never going to mark up. They're never going to add on. You're going to get all of the accessories to that vehicle that you want, not the ones that they want to give you. You are going to pay. You're going to get the best interest rate you possibly can because they're going to work that deal. They had a deal with me. Ford had an interest rate, and they said, no. We're going to go with this bank because this bank's interest rate is better. Ford, you think Ford's happy about that? No, and they don't care. They're going to do what's best for you as a client every single time. So if you're looking for that vehicle, that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle, they got them on a lot as well, go to ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, it's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
That's pretty funny, Spencer.
A lot of these, we don't even
pretty
know.
Good. They hit hard, though. Sometimes it's a little.
Sometimes it's a little too much.
It's a little.
Sometimes
no.
It's a little.
I mean, sometimes
you're a little
it's too close to home. Stop already.
You're a little out of line yourself there.
This segment is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue Smoked Wings. Perfectly smoked, tender, and juicy. These bad boys are going to knock your socks off. Let's go. They're good. I'm a Greek wing fan, though, if you want to know the truth. I like their fried Greek wings. But get the fries. They have great French fries, too, there, by the way. Get to the 18th Street store right there on 610 and get those. Those are really, really good with the fries. Yeah, that's a good meal right there. All right. So yesterday, out of nowhere, I mean, this was, you want to talk about, listen, I've been reading a few articles about this. And just a couple of weeks ago at the PGA Championship, everybody's there. Not a peep about this. When do we have anything that surprises everybody out of nowhere?
Every once in a while, but this is what, I mean, for something this major, you want to talk about being kept, well, it was kept so quiet that the players didn't know. It would have come out if the players knew anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No. It would have definitely.
Why don't you tell people what it was?
Well, the PGA Tour and LIV, they merged along with the DP Tour. I don't know how
that's going. How'd they get in there? Who is that?
That's the European Tour. It's called the DP Tour now.
Is it a big deal?
It's the European. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, European players still. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the second best league in the world. Yeah. Yeah. So it is.
Well, maybe that's a little bit more of a big, in terms of a bigger deal. I heard about it, but I mean, the best European players, a lot of them are already playing over here, though, right?
Well, you know, so a lot of them keep their card, but they come over here and play. They play on both tours. Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys that.
That's right, because they talk about it during Ryder Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jay Monahan, here's 1 year ago, at the Canadian Open, it's 1 year ago because they're playing in Canada again right now. 1 year ago, here is Jay Monahan talking about the LIV Tour and about LIV.
Well, I talk to players. I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
Now, today they do. Today they do. That's 1 year ago today. They had a players-only meeting. Well, they had a meeting, no, with Jay Monahan yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, were they laying into him. And they called him a hypocrite.
Jay Monahan made a decision for the tour without consulting with the members of the tour. And I'll be honest. You know, I had a conversation on the I had someone text me, one of my buddies who's a listener, too, and a couple of them, my wife has been saying things, and I'm not a fan at all. I wasn't a fan of Liv. Like, you got to stand for something at some point. I understand everyone's got a price tag, and you'll sell out your own family for a certain amount of money, apparently. It just doesn't matter to people. Once they get to a certain number, they no longer have moral compass. But if you say you stand for something and you believe in something, and players made conscious decisions not to take money because they said, we are going to, yes, we could make way more money, but we believe in what you're saying and we believe in this. For you to then take that away from them and force something upon them, that's not going to sit well. By the same token, John, in all honesty, if you're just completely objective about this, Jay Moynihan was in a no-win position.
Monahan.
He was in a no-win position. Things weren't going to get better for the PGA Tour. They would just slowly have some decline, and then you see where it tops off. Now, Liv not having a TV, you know, not having a good TV contract was always going to keep it down, but eventually they would have
contract. You know, they already got some Fox Sports. Here's the deal. This is what makes the most sense, is that I've seen this a couple of times now. The PGA Tour was going to have to open up its books with this lawsuit. And the rumor is that the PGA Tour and Liv had already spent $100 million on legal fees already in this deal. And the Department of Justice has been after the PGA Tour about being a monopoly already. And if they opened up their books and they saw the kind of money and exactly how the PGA Tour was being run, it would be too painful. It would have been way too painful. And it could have cost the PGA Tour huge as far as a monopoly goes. So Jay Monahan was in a no-win situation where he couldn't beat Liv. He possibly could. They were actually taking care of business against Liv in the courts. But once he had to open up Phil might have been right about all of this. Once they had to open up their books here, it was going to be a death knell for the PGA
People
Tour.
Were pissed at Phil for saying that. Remember, I mean, Phil took a lot of heat for basically saying the PGA is basically stealing money for it. Who was it that came after Phil? It wasn't Rory. It was who was the player that came after Phil?
There've been a few.
Yeah, and we love the PGA Tour, yeah. And Phil may have ended up being right that they and you know, honestly, that's always the comment made by now NBA NBA and NFL have strongly collectively bargained agreements where they get a percentage of, you know, the BRI, basketball related income. That kind of takes everything off the table because you have a transparent accounting of the money that's coming in.
Right.
But golf, they didn't.
And it was so funny after Liv came along, all of a sudden the purses increased drastically on the PGA Tour with elevated events and everything else. And it was like, wait a minute, if you had this money all along, why wasn't it being distributed to the players anyway? But there are so many layers to this thing. But I am convinced that the main thing was opening the books and the Department of Justice coming after the PGA Tour. Now, there are so many guys that put their necks out on the line. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, say they downed. They talked about Liv. They talked about how they were proud of the PGA Tour. They stood behind the PGA Tour. They didn't take that life-changing money. Tiger Woods allegedly was offered $900 million to move over to Liv, and he wouldn't do it. Rory was offered what DJ and Phil got and was going to get. It's unbelievable money that they turned down. Now they look stupid. You know, last year Donald Trump tweeted out, "You idiots."
They never look stupid though. To me, they don't look stupid.
No, they don't look stupid.
They look.
No, but they were taken advantage of.
Yes.
They were taken advantage of. Monahan used them to promote the tour, to downplay Liv, to bash Liv, and to keep trying to keep other players there and keep his money alive, keep that PGA Tour money alive. And the guys who Brooks Koepka, DeChambeau, Phil, Pat Perez, all of these guys that went over there and took that money, Donald Trump tweeted out, hey, you guys on the PGA Tour, you idiots, you know they're going to merge, right? When they merge, your guys are going to lose. Yeah. The guys who went over there and got all of that money are going to win. So the PGA, this is going to happen. And he couldn't have been more right about it. But how about the guys that stayed behind? Here is Jay Monahan yesterday talking about those guys that stayed behind and didn't take the money.
You know, it probably didn't seem this way to them. But as I look to our players, those players that have been loyal to the PGA Tour, I'm confident that the move that they made, they've made the right decision. They've helped re-architect the future of the PGA Tour. They've moved us to a more pro-competitive model. We have significantly invested, as I just talked to Brendan about, in our business in 23. We're going to do so in 24. And as we finalize this process, I think any player that has stayed is going to realize that the money that they're going to make, the strength of this platform, all the things that we talk about are going to put them in a really strong position. They're going to win. They're going to continue to grow. And we're in a control position on their behalf as we move forward in this structure.
Okay. Why does that sound like Michael Scott?
It's so double talk.
He said absolutely nothing. It sounds like Steve Carell is the...
He does a little bit. Listen, the guys who took that money are going to come back. Now, he did say that they would be... The guys who took the money and come back to the PGA Tour are going to be fined. They're not going to fine them $200 million.
No.
So those guys that took that money and went over are going to be able to come back. And all of the hard feelings and all of the things that were said about the PGA. Now, this is going to blow over, and it actually has somewhat already. We saw Brooks Koepka at the Masters. We saw Brooks Koepka win the PGA Championship. Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, but Brooks Koepka, like a dumbass, tweeted out, get a welfare check on
Brandel Chamblee.
On Brandel Chamblee. Why would he? I get Brandel Chamblee is upset about this. Why would Koepka? All you're doing is
because Brandel Chamblee has been blasting them.
Yeah, but so what?
No. He wanted to get because Brandel. Listen, Brandel Chamblee by the players. The players do not like because Brandel Chamblee. It says a lot of crap about the players.
Okay,
and so
I still think that if you want to. Okay, well, if there's that dimension.
No. Brandel Chamblee called this the worst day of golf in history.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to. Okay, I do know how this is going to be. In 2 years, no one's going to talk about this. Now, somebody brought up a point like, are they going to get the Bud Light treatment? You know, if you're a real one and you're consistent, that same energy you had for, you know, Bud Light for going against whatever your beliefs or how it was positioned or whatever the case may be. You know, I understand that was predictable, frankly. Mm-hmm. It also wouldn't surprise me if some of the same people who love golf are very anti-Saudi from the standpoint of what happened with 9/11. Now, it happened 22 years ago, but there's been, I mean, my gosh, there's still been atrocities committed since then. And are you going to keep that same energy for maybe a sport that you enjoy watching on Sunday if you think that it wasn't, you know, what happened is. I just think this. What's frustrating to me is that I already watch how the NBA bows down to China.
Yeah,
everyone's
right.
We mustn't upset them. You know, Daryl Morey, it's just so hypocritical that Daryl Morey catches flack, and I get it, but Daryl Morey catches flack about human rights violations, and then the same players who could wear shirts and things about social justice, which is certainly fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. But you can't limit someone else's speech about atrocities committed and freedoms that have been taken away from Hong Kong, you know, because all you care about is your money.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only thing you care about. And now What's unfortunate is Saudi is going to be – Saudi money now is officially in a sport, deep into a sport.
Oh, they're in – dude.
PIF is – but PIF now has their – they're going to – they've got the
they're
guy
in your soccer money. You know that, right?
Yeah, but that's international.
And so what, you know.
This is America. This is a little bit different. You have no control over the international stuff. That's been going on. But pro – in American pro sports leagues? And embedded into all of PGA?
Yeah.
This is a really big deal.
Here's the deal, though. There are so – Saudi money is in so – and we're doing business with so many companies that you don't even –
Oh, I know.
American companies are doing – absolutely.
And that's
absolutely.
What I'm saying. Everybody is a hypocrite. Everyone's for sale.
That's everybody is. All right. We got to take a break. 713-780-3776. If you got thoughts on this or anything else, you're more than welcome to get in. Eric Reed, the play-by-play guy for the Heat, going to join us at 8 o'clock. And then Scott Hastings, who does color for the Nuggets, is going to join us at 9.
Scott had the, Scott Hastings had the famous, "Hey, you playing tonight?"
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we got a busy show here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, is it in good working order, the bidet?
I'm going to make this fast because John has a tea time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
But Lance, Lance has got more NFL work. He's got a movie to watch on the toilet or something.
I was doing some recon on Olivia Thirlby today.
I saw that.
I shared some of my findings with you.
Yes.
Didn't know who she was, and I'm like, oh, I recognize her.
And you know what? If I... Your recon work is tremendous.
Yeah.
When Lance has to go after something.
Yeah. You know, my Google skills are pretty good.
Research goes. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Pretty good
at it. Numbers guy.
713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So many tweets coming in. This is a good one. Will Zalatoris sent Jay Monahan a Venmo request for $130 million.
That's hilarious. You know, me and Raheel, I used to send him requests for a friendship fee. Like, I would charge him, and then he would pay it.
He did?
Like, I'd charge him $1.50 for monthly friendship fee.
Yeah,
for me providing him friendship.
Well, apparently Will Zalatoris was offered $130 million, and he refused it. And now he wants it. He can't blame him. Basically, listen. I saw one story said that the Saudis came up to Jay Monahan. It hasn't been confirmed, but a while ago, and said they wanted to invest money in the tour, and they wanted to be part of the tour, and be a major sponsor, and actually have this more or less ownership like they've got now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Monahan turned it down, and then all of a sudden they said, "Okay, watch this. Okay, you don't want our money? Watch this. Live." And here comes Liv. This caught everybody by surprise. It caught everybody, including the highest players. Greg Norman didn't know. Greg Norman said he didn't know. None of the players knew. They had the meeting yesterday, and they all met at the Toronto hotel because, they got the Canadian Open this week, and it was all like, what in the bleep? No one knew. That's the most shocking thing ever that you're able to do a deal like this in total secrecy. Them Saudis can keep a secret now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Monahan was able to keep a secret. He apparently met...
wanted nothing to do with anyone finding out because he already knew he was going to take the heat.
Jay knew he couldn't open up his books. The players were going to sue him after they opened the books.
And they were going
the
to all
DOJ
go to...
Was
they
gonna
were all
going
to go
him.
Take the money to live.
Yeah.
And he even said in one of his instances, he mentioned... He mentioned self-preservation. Mm-hmm. It was maybe worded a little bit differently, but this was a move to keep the PGA alive. What?
This
I just got requested. Alex Malone just requested $5 from me for being a loyal listener.
No, Alex Malone.
Alex said, "Loyal listener of the bench association fee, $5. I'm not going to pay. You know what? Watch this. I'm going to pay him.
Mm. Don't pay him. Now all of a sudden, here comes everybody.
I'm paying him 25 cents.
Art, this is terrible.
Listening fee. Watch this. I'm only paying a quarter, though.
Oh, Fuzzy's out. Hey, Fuzzy has chimed in on this one. Fuzzy. As long as they don't serve couscous or shish kebab or whatever the hell they eat.
Up. Will you shut up? Stop reading that stuff. As long as they don't serve couscous or shish kebab.
Or whatever the hell.
It's kebab, and it's not even. That's not even. Who sent that? Was it actually Fuzzy sent that?
It was Fuzzy did. Fuzzy actually said that. No, Fuzzy didn't say that. 713-780-3776.
Or hummus or whatever the hell it is they eat. I love the at least.
Good one, Art. That was a good one.
Of course it was Art.
713-780-3776. Saudi being in the PGA is different than some big tech company. Nobody cares about that. Tons of businesses do pride stuff, but Bud Light and Target touch just the right nerve. I don't think this will matter, but it's unpredictable. I don't know. I think some people might turn away from the PGA Tour.
I think it's always possible. I do think that, you know, it depends on how principled you are. Do I think that some people turn away from the NFL during the Kaepernick thing? Yeah, but the numbers will tell you it doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of people said they were going to and came back. And I think my guess is for golf, it's not going to really matter. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it. If you're somebody who makes your living in that sport, you're just not allowed to have an opinion. You're not allowed to be principled unless you literally stop that job. And where else do you go?
No.
Like, you have no other place to go now.
Yeah.
If you want to be a professional golfer, there is no other place for you.
You know, you're owned by the Saudis now. That's right. No matter where you want to play. I mean, the DP Tour, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the Asian Tour?
If you're basketball, you could, yeah. If you're basketball, you could say, you know, if you're really principled, you could say, well, I'm going to go play in Taiwan or go play wherever that I can go find some money in the short term. In golf, what can you do? I guess Asian Tour? You don't have any other. They've made this decision for you. You're going to get Saudi money.
This is
some will call it blood money.
Saudi owns the two biggest golf leagues in the world. And that's not going to change. So you work for the Saudis now, and you know it was more or less a hostile takeover. If you want to know the truth, they pulled all the right strings. Jay Monahan was up against the wall. Jay Monahan basically saved himself. He is the CEO of this deal, but the Saudi dude is the chairman. I don't know who's higher. CEO. I didn't know which one.
I think
chairman.
I think. CEO is the controlling.
Oh, really? Ever heard of Chairman Mao?
No, Chairman is probably the controlling. CEO is the guy who runs the entire thing.
Yeah.
So he's running it. It's probably, they probably have equal standing.
But they don't have equal standing. Actually, I think the PGA Tour has a more voting rights.
They have more voting rights. I'm just talking about those two guys specifically.
Yeah, right. But whether
PGA
or not, listen,
has to have
Jay Monahan saved his job, but it might be for just now. I don't know that Jay Monahan is going to be able to stay in this position. Jay Monahan was threw himself a life preserver, and it might be that, you know what, what a hypocrite he was. And he said, listen, yeah, I heard it, and he took it yesterday when the players were all calling him a hypocrite. He said, things have changed. Things have changed over time. They haven't changed. What changed was that Jay Monahan was probably going to be out. Jay Monahan was probably going to get crushed by the players, but when the books were open. And so Jay Monahan did some self-preservation and joined the evil forces. And you know what? He saved himself, but I think only for now. I don't think Jay Monahan's going to be able to stay in this position, if you want to know the truth. We'll see. 744 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Time for you to talk about Stephen Schell.
Yeah, so one of the things that you have to make a decision about is when are you going to try to enjoy your life, you know, start to enjoy your life. When you look back and said, I had this life experience, that life experience. For a lot of us, we wait and wait, and you work, you don't take time off, you don't do what you're going to do, and then you realize at some point, man, I really need to start enjoying this before I can't enjoy anything. And so I made the decision back in, I guess it was 2015 is when I made the decision. I didn't pull the trigger until 2016 and ended up getting a patio from Texas Custom Patios. And I had great space. I knew I had good space to work with, but I couldn't, you know, I just didn't see it, what it would look like. And that's why the design team over at Texas Custom Patio, they'll tell you exactly what it's going to look like. They do an incredible job of creating lifelike renderings so you see exactly what your home is going to look like. And then you start to live your best life. I was out yesterday. Matter of fact, we have two dogs in our backyard. I don't know. They were just walking the neighborhood. And because I'm such a great person, I take these dogs in. And being a good person is difficult, but it's easier whenever you have an outdoor living space from Texas Custom Patios, because they just were out there, and I was out sitting there looking through sports stories, just hanging out with these two dogs. And yesterday made chicken thighs out on the grill in the new kitchen that I had built out there. So it is a lifestyle choice, and it's one that adds value to your home and to your life. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
There are thrills and terrible dangers ahead.
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
All right, welcome back. So here's the headline, Lance, of a story that I found just this morning. Dylan Brooks headlines Rockets free agency wish list. Of all the guys, Dylan Brooks, we've talked about, and apparently what James is torn now, James is torn on whether or not he wants to come to Houston or stay in Philadelphia.
And there's some,
you know what that means?
Well, that Houston's not offering what he wants.
Waffling is not offering what he wants.
Yeah, I liked it. I think we're doing the Lord's work, trying to point out everything. Once again, I said this during a commercial. I'm a really good person, and sometimes with that.
Yeah, you said that during a commercial.
Like taking in dogs and stuff like that, trying to find their homes on Paw Boost or whatever it is. You know, I'm like.
There's a website for
dogs. Lost dogs. Lost dogs. So when you do stuff like that, it's like it's a blessing and a curse. I guess
when you're a good person
true.
Like you are?
Like I am. Yeah, when you're a really good person, it's hard. It's harder than you think to be a really good person. It's easy to be a bad person.
Yeah.
It's hard like for people like me to be, you know, for me to be a really good person because it comes with its own challenges. And one of those challenges is having to take unpopular stands like James shouldn't come back to Houston, don't do it, Rockets. And my
Is that unpopular? Is that unpopular? Really?
It is with some people. With some people.
Yeah, but...
And trying to convince the Rockets not to take James, I'm doing the Lord's work, and I'm hoping it's having a.
So what is the Lord telling you about Dylan Brooks?
I could tell you this. Well, I didn't say the Lord speaks through me. I didn't say that. You're the one that called Brandon Belak a Christ figure yesterday.
No, I never said that. I said he was Joan of Belak.
You said he suffered for our sins or whatever. And he's being unfairly persecuted, like Joan of Arc, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
But here's the deal.
You're burning him at the stake.
Here's the deal.
That's all he's doing is going out there and giving you six and a third.
Yeah, six and two-thirds.
Six and two-thirds and crushing people.
10 hits,
and
don't
winning
care,
11
fine.
To four. I guess that's not good enough for you.
So this is not the offseason I signed up for. The offseason I signed up for was... You know, a good veteran presence that everyone could get behind, Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. That was what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be the summer of the off season of new beginnings with a new star at the top of the draft lottery, smart free agency signings. This is going to be the rebirth of the Rockets. Okay, the Texans got us a quarterback. A new coach that is well loved, a pass rusher from a blue chip university that has terrific productivity in college. And what do the Rockets give us? Discussions about Dylan Brooks, James Harden, and now the fourth pick of the draft. This isn't what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for this offseason.
Yeah.
James Harden, Dylan Brooks, and the fourth pick? Now, I didn't sign up for this.
Especially with all our sacrifice the last 3 years.
Yeah.
What we have sacrificed watching Rockets basketball.
I mean, the Rockets
basketball.
Were losing intentionally. They were tanking when they could have won at any point when they wanted to. Some fans said this is just tank. I mean, obvious, which the opposite of that is they could win when they wanted to just to get Victor. And look what you get. Instead, you get, and ironically enough, it's a guy named Amen.
Amen, yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Amen.
Or Ausar. I've seen where they're going to take Ausar now because he's a better catch-and-shoot guy. So we'll see. But, the options are Draymond Green, James Harden, and Dylan Brooks. Wow. Can't be any better. Woo. Good thing. Good offseason. Good thing you lost all those games the last 3 years. This is what you're going to – instead of – I know, and people are against getting Jaylen Brown for whatever reason. I guess because of what you're going to have to give up. You have to give up stuff in a trade for him.
Yeah, probably.
I guess that would be it.
And, I mean, listen, Jaylen Brown ain't going to be – they're not just taking your midline pieces. They want Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün more likely. That's a lot.
Yeah. No,
that's a lot.
It is a
like,
lot.
Like, I could argue that if you're just straight up trading Green for – you know, I don't know what the deal would look like, but because you got to make it work financially. But just the idea of Green for Brown, I'd do that. That's not a problem.
So, look at Jaylen Brown in that last game. He did nothing, you know, and you're tired of not having guys that don't do anything in the postseason. So let's go get Dylan Brooks, who shot 31% from the field, 23% from three in the series against the Lakers. Let's go get that guy. Dylan Brooks is just a pain in the ass, isn't he? I don't know. Is this something that you want? This is the guy that you want to mentor guys along with? I mean, he's going to be punching referees.
Well, they ended up getting rid of
him. What is he going to teach
you? No, they ended up getting rid of him because he was like.
He was a pain.
He was a huge pain.
A pain.
Well, he became a huge pain.
This is what you
pain.
Want? That
I,
Memphis
I, I think
is
the
pain?
Way, well, I think the way he plays is one thing. I like the way he plays, but. He was intentionally poking the LeBron bear, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life, during the playoffs. And he even said, I poke bears. They said they would not – the GM said, we will not bring him back under any circumstances. That's not
Let's
great.
Go get that guy.
He couldn't shoot at the end of the year. His shot was completely broken. No, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't oversell the whole Dylan Brooks as the villain thing because Memphis became kind of a villainous team and not well liked. But Dylan Brooks does have some, like, he does have some grit factor to it. There's some things that this team could use. Dylan Brooks brings some things to the table that you could use, but I don't want it to get out of control like it did at Memphis where you don't even like your own team.
No, you don't even like. Have you ever heard a general manager say. Say the things that he said about Dylan Brooks. There would be absolutely no chance that he's coming back. You never, ever, ever hear a GM say that about a player. Just, no, well, we'll release him and we wish him the best. You know, that's it. Not under no circumstances are we bringing this guy back. That's what you want.
Not me.
What I hear is you got to have a guy that's going to mentor these young players. Got to have that guy that, you know, under no circumstances he coming back to that team. So, got to get that guy. No. That's not what you're looking for. You have heard Van Vliet is the next guy that.
No, that's a real dude.
That's a
guy that I can get behind.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a good basketball move. That's like, some of this is just, I really hope Rafael Stone can get this figured out.
I hope this is all smoke. That's all I hope. And. With James Harden, with
Draymond. I understand the ability, but you do have to factor in Rockets have done a terrible job in the past, especially under Daryl Morey, of understanding cohesive locker rooms and building culture. And Udoka strikes me as a culture guy. The Miami Heat have built culture. This is for the Rockets. Like, you got to make sure you're bringing in the right veterans, or you got to make sure you're bringing in the right players. But this is not the offseason I thought I was signing up.
All right, we got to take a break. Eric Reed, not the safety, the play-by-play announcer for the Miami Heat, will be joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're watching ESPN 97.5 with your ears.
High definition.